Well, Happy New Year. I pray for all of us that 2019 will be a wonderful year in which we see the mercy and the grace and the breakthrough power of God poured out in wonderful ways in our lives. Can you believe it's 2019? What happened to 2018? Anybody see the firework display? Was anybody actually there? Anyone see it on the telly? We all saw it on the telly then. It was quite impressive, wasn't it? Something like 70,000 fireworks. Wow. They really went to the next level of a firework display. And that's precisely the title of my message. My New Year's message, 2019, here at BHBC, is this. Next level Christianity. Going up to the level that God wants us to go up to. You see, grace, when God pours out His grace upon our lives, it's not so that we can operate at the minimum standard level. You know, it's like the pass mark when you're at school or at uni. You know, I don't know about you, I never wanted to hover around the pass mark. I always wanted to see how high I could achieve. But there were those, especially at school, who kind of just wanted to hover around the pass mark. There was a guy in our matric class. In South Africa, you matriculate when you're 18. He was 21. He did it a few times because he always hovered around just the bare minimum. Well, grace is not a bare minimum thing. Grace lifts us up. The grace of Jesus Christ, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, lifts us up to a whole new level. His grace empowers us to walk in righteousness. His grace empowers us to live in holiness. His grace isn't there to see how much we can get away with. His grace is there to lift us up and see how much like Jesus we actually can live and think and breathe 24/7 every single day of our lives. And this year, 2019, I believe that God is going to take us to the next level in our faith. A year in which our roots will grow deeper in the Lord. And it will be a year in which we'll grow higher in kingdom possibilities and kingdom expansion. Let's get to the first scripture this morning, please. Isaiah 43, verse 19. God speaking, "See, I am doing a new thing!" Exclamation mark. Excited about it. You know, we don't always get excited about new things, do we? We would put exclamation mark, question mark, exclamation mark, question mark. Do we want a new thing? But see, I'm doing a new thing. The banner's up there. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? And very often, when God's new thing springs up, we don't perceive it. Because we're still in the previous year. We're still in a previous life. Not a life that we once lived, but a life that was once a life of sin. Do you not perceive it? We are now walking in the new. I am making a way in the wilderness. We may have wilderness experiences in 2019. We don't know what 2019 really holds, do we? When we think of the world we live in, when we think of global terrorism, we don't know what the future holds. When you look at the political situation, we won't talk about Brexit now, will we? What does the future hold? But even if we had to go through a wilderness, God will take us through. Even if we had to go through a wasteland, Isaiah says God will make streams in that wasteland. That's the power of being a child of God. We are challenged by our circumstances, but we don't live by our circumstances. We live by the higher calling He's placed upon our lives. Look at John 16, verse 33. Jesus speaking to His disciples, "I've told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart," again, exclamation mark, "I have overcome the world." We will have trouble. It's not a message of doom and gloom, but trouble does come our way. But the amazing thing is when the troubler troubles us, we can trouble the troubler. And how do we trouble the troubler? By living the word, by standing on the word, by declaring the word, by prophesying God's word out over our lives. Hallelujah. I'm excited about 2019 because Jesus has overcome the world, and I believe he's going to do greater things in our lives than he's ever done before. Greater things in this church than he's ever done before, if only we would let him. Have you made your New Year's resolutions yet? Or have we just given up on resolutions? I'm going to give you three resolutions this year, only three. But if we do them with all our heart and in the Lord, I believe we will go to the next level. Anybody remember last year's resolutions from 2018? Anyone keep them? Anyone achieve them? I'll help you out this morning. I'll make it easy for you. Thanks, Stefan, for reading to us from 1 Samuel 16, where Samuel anoints David to be king. And my first point comes from that portion of scripture, that text this morning. Resolution number one, a new day. A new day. Let's look at that first portion of scripture. The Lord said to Samuel, so Samuel the prophet, and the Lord said, how long will you mourn for Saul? Who was Saul? Saul was the king. He was in charge of Israel. He was the man everyone wanted. He won the popularity contest. This was King Saul. It wasn't God's plan for the nation to have kings. But the nation looked at what the world was doing and said, we want to do what the world's doing. They've got kings, we've got prophets, but we really want kings. They've got kings, we've got prophets, and we've got priests, but we really want kings. So God gave them what they wanted. But it wasn't his perfect will. And for a while, things may have been going okay, but something happened. There was a character flaw in Saul's life. And the character flaw in Saul's life was this. He had a drawing towards sin. He disobeyed the Lord. Now look at this. How long will you mourn for Saul, since I have rejected him as king over Israel? So if you read the previous chapter, we'll see that God in the spirit had already, Saul was still reigning, he was still on the throne, but God had rejected him. And at this point, Samuel was mourning the rejection of Saul. So the Lord says, how long will you mourn for Saul, since I've rejected him as king over Israel? Fill your horn with oil and be on your way. So dry up your tears, get on with the job of being a prophet, and go and do what I've called you to do. I'm sending you to Jesse of Bethlehem. I've chosen one of his sons to be king. But Samuel said, how can I go? If Saul hears about it, he will kill me. So to understand this, I've already pointed out a bit of the biblical history there, but let me give you a bit more biblical background. Saul had been the people's choice. If Israel had been a car showroom, Saul would have been the Rolls Royce. They wanted a king. They wanted to be like the nations around them. And they pestered Samuel until finally he said, Lord, these people really want the king. And the Lord said, fine, I'll give them what they want. Saul actually had a brilliant start. He was an impressive young man. He was tall. He was handsome. He was a naturally born leader, if you believe leaders can be born. Naturally born leaders. For a while, it was all sunshine and roses. Until something happened inside Saul. I've already pointed out that he had a character flaw. He had an impulsive streak. He acted without thinking, not in minor things, but in major things, in deliberately going against the direct will of God. He disobeyed the Lord. And then the day came when the Lord said, I'm going to tear your kingdom from you and give it to a man after my own heart. No wonder Samuel, we find Samuel here weeping for Saul, mourning over him. He weeps for Israel, who would take his place. There was no one on the horizon to take his job. How long will you mourn for Saul? Folks, there's a time to mourn. And there's a time to fill your horn with oil and move on. I wonder, perhaps Samuel, the prophet, was paralyzed with mourning. Because mourning can paralyze us. We can long for what was for so long. We can long for the leaders we had, the country we had, the church we had, the family we had, the job we had. The list continues. The people we had, we can mourn. And it can paralyze us. And there is a time to mourn. And it's good and it's right to mourn and be respectful. But a time does come where God does tell us, stand up, dry your tears, get a move on. Go and do what He has called us to do. God said, fill your horn with oil and be on your way. What does this say to us? This says that God was saying, for Israel, there was a new day. And this can be New Year's resolution number one for us, as the church, as the people of God. From today on, every day can be a new day in Jesus. We don't have to bring the past with us, the baggage of the past. It's a new day. It's a new season. Dry your tears. Move on. Get over it. It's over. It's gone. It's finished. Hurtful words for some, encouraging and exciting, excuse me, for others. We've got to realize that in our lives, certain things are over. We've mourned them. We've nursed them. We've rehearsed them. We've cursed them. That's come up against the things that are over. Now it's time to lay down the nursing, rehearsing, and cursing. And to dry the tears and to move in to a new day. Yesterday is over. 2018 is over. 1999 is over. 1969 is over. It's over. It is finished. And let me tell you, the reign of the enemy is over. Amen. We've got to believe that. We've got to go into 2019 not enemy focused, but Jesus focused. Because it is Jesus who has overcome. And if I'm in Christ, I'm seated with Him in heavenly places. It is over. The battles you fought in 2018, they are over. The spiritual battles you fought in 2018, they are over. It's no good going back to them and saying, I'm missing all these battles so much. They've filled such a great place in my life. I'm going to just nurse those battles and those hurts again. Oh, thank you for being part of my life. You filled such a big part, all the sleepless night, all the weight loss, all the stress, all the pain, all the anguish. Oh, thank you. Please don't go away. I don't know what I'm going to do without you. No, it's over. Sometimes things are finished in our lives. And we really believe they're finished. But they're still there. God had rejected Saul. But he was still there. God had rejected him. 1 Samuel 15 tells us God had rejected Saul because of his disobedience. 1 Samuel 16, in the first three verses, tells us God had rejected Saul. But he was still there. It's like when Jesus, remember the time he was with his disciples, going off to the temple, and there's a fig tree, and Jesus curses the fig tree. The next morning, it was only the next morning when they walked by the fig tree again that the disciples noticed that the leaves had withered. Yeah? It was still there. It took time for it to wither. Sometimes we've got the victory. but the devil's still playing in the sand. Sometimes you've got the victory, but the devil still breathing down our backs. Jesus rejected the victory. God rejected Saul. We don't often talk about rejection. Often we think of rejection in a negative way, but actually rejection, I'm not talking about rejecting people. I'm not talking about a spirit of rejection, because some people carry a spirit of rejection. You're around them and immediately you feel inferior and rejected. That's because they're carrying a spirit of rejection and heaping shame on you. But what I am talking about is there's certain things that God does reject. What could God reject? God could reject fear in our lives. God would be wanting us to reject bad habits in our lives. Maybe something from the past that is not healthy for us to be rejecting that, and it still feels like it's there. But how many of you know that often we go before we are gone? We leave before we have left. What needs to change for us to have a new day? Because the devil still tries best. We have to have a new thinking. We have to have a new mentality. The greatest battlefield in all the world are between, all the world is between the 2 years. Yeah. A new thinking. You know, Romans 12 verse 2 says this. I think I've got it there. Let's go to it, please. Thank you. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. How many of us want to live His good, pleasing, and perfect will? Yes, we say that. We do. But we cannot conform to this world. We have to renew our minds. What do we think about ourselves? And freedom in Christ is going to help us with what we think about ourselves. Freedom in Christ is going to help us with what we think about our position in Christ. If you think you're a sinner, then you're a sinner. But surely, when Jesus comes into our lives, He doesn't paint over the sin. I don't know if anybody's ever done a bit of decoration. You know, you can paint over the mold till the paint company runs out of paint. You're not going to get rid of the mold. You've got to deal with the mold. Jesus doesn't come over and paint over the sin. Because what's going to happen? What's behind the sin is going to just whoosh, come right out at you. He changes us from the inside out. He calls us righteous. We have the righteousness of Christ. He calls us free. He calls us new. He calls us new creations. When our thinking changes, we truly walk in a new day. Because we don't go around, oh, I'm just a lousy old, creepy old, smelly old, loser sinner. And Jesus, please allow me to sing a little song to you at church. I love you. Can I actually sing that? I don't know. Oh, please, come on. We are saved. We are called. We are chosen. It's a mentality. You see, Jesus saves our spirit. He gives us the word to reprogram our minds. And often our minds need to catch up with what God's doing in our spirit. Get into His word. Read it. Read His promises for you. Amen. I've got to move on with the sermon now. Sometimes we have a poverty mentality. Yes, we do. Can never see yourself succeeding. Can never see yourself as the person God has called you to be. I was speaking to a person once who came from a family with a poverty mentality. He said no one he knows of in his family line of history had ever owned their own home. And he made up his mind. He said, I'm saved. God has called me. He's chosen me. I'm going to up my game. I'm going to go to the next level. I'm going to go to the place that no one in my family has ever gone before. And all his family said, you'll never be able to do it. Today, he owns his own home. His mentality changed. He saw himself the way Jesus saw him. We can have a new day with a mentality change. And please don't be offended by what I'm about to say next. Or we can stick with stinking thinking. It's your choice. And if the mind of Christ stinking thinking. Ephesians 4:22-24. You were taught with regard to your former way of life, our former way of life. It's gone. To put off your old self, which has been corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds. Just in case you thought I was sucking the previous point out my thumb, there it is in Scripture. We are made new by what? The attitude of your minds. And to put on the new self. So maybe we can do this. Every morning when we wake up, we say, this is the day the Lord has made. Thank you, Lord, for this new day. Help me have the right attitude of mind in Jesus' name. Help me put on the new self created in God in true righteousness and holiness. If I may ask, who's a believer around here? Fantastic! Look what it says. And to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. So who's a believer? All your hands are going up. So how has God made you? How has God made you? Look at that. Created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Man, can you say, I'm created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness? Can we say that? I'm created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Now imagine you wake up tomorrow morning and you actually say that. Stick that verse next to your bed, on your Bible, on your alarm clock, on your fridge, on your iPhone, on your Android phone, Lord help them. Stick it somewhere. I'm created to be like God in righteousness and holiness. We're going to have a different type of a life. We're going to go to the next level because we're going to live like that in Jesus' name. Now, I've got to move on. I could preach on that to 2020, but here we go. The issue is this. There are certain things that operated in our lives in 2018 that God has rejected. It's over. It's finished. We need to go to the next level. You need to move to the next level and allow God to anoint you for the future. God told Samuel to go anoint the new king while the old king was still sitting on his throne. Samuel operated in God's next level. You may have stuff still sitting there. You may still have bills to pay. You may still have pain in your life to deal with and hurt to deal with. But your future can still be anointed now. And we can choose for our futures to be anointed now, no matter what we are going through. Samuel anointing Saul as king could have been considered high treason. Samuel could have lost his life. He took a risk. In stepping forward into the new that God has for us every day, it's risky business. But the Bible calls it faith. Stepping forth into that new day in faith. God's calling us to the next level. Your past may still be there, but it has no authority over you unless you allow it to have authority over you. God's calling us to operate in this dimension. What God has rejected may still be sitting there, but I'm going to trust God to anoint my future. And I can end it there or quickly rush through the next 2 points. What do you want? End it there? Just quickly look at these scriptures coming up. Resolution number one, a new day. For his anger lasts for a moment. Psalm 35, verse 5. And his favor is for a lifetime. Weeping may tarry for the night, but joy comes with the morning. Yesterday's over. Last night is over. It's a new day. It's a new morning. Morning as in the time frame. Okay, next slide, please. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come, the old has gone, the new is here. The old is gone. It doesn't say the new is coming. It's here. Let's get on with it. Okay. Philippians 3, 13 to 14. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do. So Paul even says he hasn't taken hold of it. Forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Folks, God has called us heavenward. Heavenward. And in Christ Jesus. Let's press on. Let's do it. So New Year's resolution number one, a new day. A new day. Good morning, Lord. Thank you for this new day. Help me live in it. In holiness and righteousness. Don't forget that scripture, Ephesians 4, 22 to 24. Number two, and I'll rush with these ones. Second resolution, a new outfit. You need a new outfit. Okay, that's not to say you're going to stretch into your husband's wallet, take up the credit card and go off to Westfield after the service. However tempting that may sound, be blessed. You know, maybe some of you bought a special outfit for Christmas or special New Year's Eve outfit. I'm talking about a different kind of outfit. But before we talk about the different kind of outfit, they say what people wear actually reveals a lot about them. They reckon that at Hollywood, on the red carpet events, and even in the West End, at premieres of films and that, when actors and actresses wear all these designer clothes, reporters often ask the following question: who are you wearing? I mentioned this over lunch, I think yesterday, to the kids, and they said, no, it's what are you wearing? No, the question is, who are you wearing? You see, in the ancient world, clothing had significance. It reflected a person's socioeconomic place, status, mood, and even their character. The New Testament, in a spiritual way, in our lives, in a sense of regeneration, uses clothing to describe our relationship with the Lord. Look at Galatians 3, 26 to 27, saying, Christ, you are children of God through faith. For all who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. Or the ESV English Standard Version says, have put on Christ. So this tells us that we have a union with Christ that happens at our conversion. Put on Christ. I wonder if we could do that every day. Good morning, Lord. Thank you for this new day. Jesus, may I put Christ on today. Help me put you on. Well, get dressed. Reveal my age. I think there was a band that once had a song, Get Dressed for Success. Anyone remember that old song? No, I'm older than you all then. Okay, well, there we go. Look at the next scripture, Romans 13, 14. Rather clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ and do not think about how to gratify the desires of the flesh. So this is talking about the transformed life that comes from a relationship with Jesus. He transforms us. He changes us. Colossians 3:12. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved. That's us. We are holy and we are dearly loved. Clothe yourselves in compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. So when we clothe ourselves in Christ, we will naturally live out these attributes in our lives. Well, how's that? Clothe yourselves with Gucci, Ted Baker, clothe yourselves with, imagine these hanging in your wardrobe, compassion. Let's put it on this year. Kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Who wouldn't want to be around people dressed like that? You'll have them over to lunch all the time if they are clothed in compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. So where do we get that from? Being clothed in Christ. And ultimately, our bodies will be transformed according to 1 Corinthians 15:53. For the perishable must clothe itself with the imperishable and the mortal immortality. Talking about eternity to come. One day these bodies will be clothed with the imperishable. And we will rule and reign with Christ Jesus. You see, our clothing in Christ speaks about our capacity. To live in humility and compassion and kindness and all those things, we need to increase our capacity. You know, I've got kids, as you all know. And they grow out of clothes. Sometimes Isabel says they need new shoes. I said, but I only just bought them shoes. They've grown out of them. Even if you buy them a size too big. And it looks like they're going snorkeling. They grow out of them. And we need to grow out of now what God has rejected. We think nothing of getting rid of old clothes. Maybe what we've clothed ourselves in 2018, we need to get rid of. Because new clothing speaks about increasing our capacity. We grow out of and we grow into. Don't we? That's called growth. That's called growth. Some clothes we no longer wear, maybe because for one, fashion has changed. Secondly, my choice has changed. I want to show you something. In this bag, I have the big reveal. I have an item of clothing with me from the 1990s. Which was my favorite item of clothing. I even remember where I bought it. I bought it in a fantastic mall in Johannesburg when I was on a Christian conference. And it was all the rage. And there was this one shop, designer shop, that sold these clothes. And man, I love these clothes. They're so fantastic. And when you see it, you're going to say, thank you, Jesus, that Kevin has grown out of those clothes. You ready for it? Oxygen, it was the brand. I mean, even in plastic. With the shoes that were wilderness walkers, they were high like that. Thank God I've grown out of it. How embarrassing. How embarrassing. Our capacity has grown. Things get uncomfortable. You can no longer fit into it. It shows you're growing. Growth involves from moving where I am to moving where I am uncomfortable so that I may position myself in the new day and in the new outfit that God has for me. Ephesians 4 should be up there somewhere. Next one, please. There. Again, the same one. And to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. I'm going to use my last point as the conclusion. And Anne, if you could come up to the keyboard, please, and the worship team start to get ready after this point, please. A new song. Wow. This is just awesome. There's something about a new song. On the one hand, I'm talking about worship singing. But on the other hand, I'm talking about a lifestyle, how we live. When worship becomes a lifestyle, there is a new song about our lives. There's a freshness, in other words, a newness of mind, of spirit, of attitude, of compassion, of generosity. Unless you can show me I am totally unaware of any command in the Bible to sing old songs. It's not disobedient to sing old songs. It simply isn't something God needs to remind us to do because we're comfortable with it. Often when we find ourselves humming or whistling a Christian song, it's often an older song and nothing wrong with that. But Scripture does speak about singing a new song. A new song. And by a new song, I mean way more than what we sing in church here on a Sunday. I'm actually talking about the way we speak, the way we live, the way we speak to people. What's the new song that needs to come out of our mouths? Maybe the song was once gossip, harshness, crude talk, dirty jokes, bad language, none of us, of course. Criticism. And maybe the new song is grace and compassion and truth in love. We've got to tell the truth. Come on. If the Christians aren't, who is going to tell the truth? But we do it in love. Love for the Lord, love for people. Look at Psalm 96, verse 1. Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Look at Psalm 98. Sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm have worked salvation for him. Look at Psalm 149. Praise the Lord. Sing to the Lord a new song. He's praised in the assembly of his faithful people. Now let's go to Isaiah 42, verse 10. Sing to the Lord a new song. He's praised from the ends of the earth. You who go down to the sea, all that is within it, you islands, and all who live in them. Wow. Look at Psalm 40, verse 3. He put a new song in my mouth. The psalmist waited patiently. He went through hell and high waters, and when he came through, he could say, God, you have put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to our God. Many will see and fear and put their trust in our Lord. Do you know why new songs are appropriate? New songs are appropriate for new rescues. When God has done mighty things in our lives, we find ourselves singing new songs. New songs are appropriate for fresh manifestations of grace. Old songs are great. They were inspired by the grace of the past. New songs bring in an ever-streaming, never-ceasing grace. New mercies needs new music. In Revelation 15, verse 3, we see a blend in heaven of old and new songs. Revelation 15, 3, we are told that those who had conquered the beast sing the song of Moses. What's the song of Moses? The song of Moses is a fantastic deliverance song from the Old Testament in either Exodus 15 or Deuteronomy 32. But they also sang a new song. What is the new song they sang in heaven? The song of the Lamb. Revelation 14, verse 3 said, singing a new song. And the 24 elders and the living creatures sang a new song. You know that song? I might just take you there. And I'm going to conclude with this. Revelation 14:3, the sound I heard was that of a harpist playing their harps, and they sang a new song before the throne and before the four living creatures and the elders. No one could learn this song except the 144,000 who had been redeemed from the earth. It was a song of the redeemed. And sometimes we can't sing new songs because we're not living in the new day. Sometimes we can't sing new songs. That song they sang was because God had done something for them. Sometimes we can't sing new songs because we're not clothed in Christ. We're still in an old capacity, an old mindset. And God wants to move us on a new song for a new day, for a new outfit. The 144 could sing the song because they had been redeemed. When God works in our lives, we can sing the song because he's done the work. If we don't allow him to work, we'll stand and watch others sing the song because it's not a reality to us. Because truly, if we are allowing his grace to be poured out in a new way, we will sing new songs. If we're allowing his mercy to be poured out in a new way, we'll be making new music. And I'm going to close back in 1 Samuel 16, verse 13. Just the end part of that slide, verse 13, three sentences up from the bottom. So Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him, that's David, in the presence of his brothers. And from that day on, the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon David. Folks, can you say from this day on, I'm trusting that the Spirit of the Lord will come powerfully upon me. And I'm going to go to the next level in my faith. I'm going to go to the next level in the service to the church. In my love, in my giving, in my compassion, in my kindness, in my outreach, in my inviting, in my evangelism, the next level. And we can do it with 3 New Year's resolutions, a new day, a new outfit, and a new song. And I'm going to help you practice that. When we leave here today, the sanctuary, in a few minutes' time, and we go for teas and coffees in the lighthouse, let's practice singing a new song. I'm not asking you to just sing solo. But the new song is more than a song. It's a heart. Because the Bible says the fruit of our lips give thanks to Him. I didn't have time to look at that scripture this morning. The fruit of our lips. Let the first words out of our mouths be words of kindness and generosity and compassion and thankfulness and honor towards people. Thank you for leading us in worship this morning. Thank you for being on the sound, on the laptop. But actually, I thought, in observation, in my opinion, the left speaker could have been slightly louder than the right speaker. New song, thank you. Thank you for giving up your time. Thank you for serving. Thank you for helping me worship this morning. Thank you for preaching a message. Taking the time. Thank you for being on door duty, for making the teas and coffees, getting here early, going shopping for the stuff. It doesn't just arrive by osmosis. Somebody made it happen. And it's time we start honoring. You know, the anointing, here we go. The anointing you honor is the anointing you'll attract. We honor the anointing on people's lives. Let's pray. I'm going to pray for the Christian second. And you can be thinking about making the commitment. Lord, I commit to go to the next level. New day. New outfit. I'm in Christ. New song. While every eye is closed and head is bowed, I want to speak to you. If you've moved away from the Lord. If you need to make it back into the race, running the race for Jesus. You've either once did it and you now have moved away and you just feel in your heart you need to make a fresh commitment to the Lord this first Sunday of 2019. Maybe you've never done it. I invite you to pray a prayer in your life. Now, just say, dear Jesus, I believe in you, I believe in you. Thank you for dying for me. Thank you for rising again from the dead. Please forgive me, a sinner. Come into my life. I want to be a child of God. While every eye is closed and head is bowed, if you prayed that prayer this morning, if there's a recommitment for the first time, I'm going to just ask you to put up your hand now. Anyone like that? Yeah, God bless you. Put your hand down. Anybody else? God bless you. Wow. Awesome. 2 hands have gone up this morning. Lord, thank you for this 2 people. We know all of heaven is rejoicing. And I pray the seal of the Holy Spirit upon their lives and for incredible joy and peace and growth in Jesus and the power of the Holy Spirit in their lives every day, all day. Jesus' name. Maybe you just want to respond as well now to the word. Lord, help me go up to the next level. It's our choice. We can choose to stay where we are, choose to go further and higher and deeper into our Christian life. Maybe you could just pray this prayer. Lord, help me live every day as a new day in you. Help me reject what you have rejected. Help me clothe myself in Jesus every day. And help me sing a new song. Let the words I speak reflect Jesus in me. I pray this in your name, Lord.